Good afternoon, and welcome to the January 2018 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Jessica Ireland, and I am the director in our Security and Threat Intelligence Practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of the cybersecurity impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cybercriminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in the global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will also be supported by myself, Research Manager Philippe D'Souza, and Senior Consulting Analysts Ian Mulholland, Edward Gray, and Rita Zerbrig. During today's briefing, we will cover topics related to dealing with a shortage of female security professionals, a lag in industrial adoption of security controls, the FDA under scrutiny for medical device security, the reintroduction of the U.S. breach notification law, and Bitcoin security. Let's begin.
When looking at cybersecurity as a field, it is clear that there is a skill shortage. There's an expected shortage of 1.8 million cybersecurity professionals by 2022. However, when looking at the existing cybersecurity workforce, we see that women only represent 11%. This may not be a large surprise for those working in the security field today, especially when they look at their own teams. However, a larger concern is that this rate has remained stagnant since 2013. Most of these findings that are mentioned here were part of the 2017 Global Information Security Workforce Study, Women in Cybersecurity, which had been originally presented by the Center for Cyber Safety and Education and the Executive Women's Forum on Information Security, Risk Management, and Privacy. The low representation of women in the security workforce occurs at all levels of the organization, especially at the senior leader level. Take North America, for example, where we see that the percentage of women in cybersecurity that are also in senior executive roles is at 4%, including director and higher, while for men, it's at 25%. We tend to see higher numbers of women in manager roles, or more likely than that, in non-managerial roles. This isn't the only discrepancy. Across all roles, we see that men constantly out-earn their female counterparts. It should be noted that the gap has decreased, though, for director roles, remained overall the same for managers, but actually has widened for the non-managerial roles. And as a reminder, these are the same roles that women most tend to fill. All of this occurs despite the fact that women in these roles tend to be more educated than the men. We see that 51% of women have graduate degrees versus the 45% of men. Beyond this, we see that globally, 51% of women have also experienced some kind of discrimination at work. Contrast this with the 15% of men who have claimed that they have also experienced the same thing. Often this may not be obvious to all, because when asked for reasons on the forms of discrimination women experience, the highest voted reason was unconscious discrimination. On the other hand, the lowest voted reason was overt discrimination. While, of course, that's still an issue, it might be a wake-up call to some of our implicit biases or unknowing behavior that creates an uncomfortable environment for women. We also saw that more women indicated that this discrimination occurs as they move into higher roles within their organization. Admittedly, this is not a new problem. As mentioned previously, the number of women in cybersecurity roles has stayed stagnant since 2013. To many women, a lot of this information presented here may not be a surprise, but it can and should be eye-opening for many CISOs, CIOs, and any other senior IT staff that will be hiring and leading other teams of IT professionals. So, how to engage and advance more women in cybersecurity? Number one, increase job satisfaction and engagement amongst female talent within the organization. Allow women to have more opportunities to take part of career or leadership development programs in order to raise their managerial skills. Review where any notable pay gaps occur. This should go without saying, but a critical step will be organizations understanding that pay inequality cannot continue to occur just as it's been the status quo. A salary review should be done across different roles to ensure that these gaps are closed. Making salary ranges more widely known within an organization can help women in the negotiating of salaries, as they are often unaware of how much their male counterparts are making. Ensure that job descriptions and responsibilities are clearly understood. Ensure that while developing job descriptions, they include clear metrics to allow easier tracking of how employees are meeting these goals. Too much subjectivity can cause misunderstanding of what goals are between employees and hiring managers. Evolve current recruiting, performance review, and succession planning practices to understand and meet the needs of women today. It may be necessary to adjust the existing structure of many of your existing hiring and performance review practices to take a more female-centric approach. More women are also joining the field today from non-security education. It will broaden your selection pool if you move beyond the typical computer science and/or engineering fields that we typically see. Also, women are still lacking in many senior roles, and it'll be crucial for companies to start recruiting female talent into these positions or to create succession plans with female candidates in mind. Often, existing diversity programs are able to recruit or hire for non-managerial roles, but they struggle greatly in manager or higher roles. These changes may not occur quickly or easily for all, but as we are starting a new calendar year, it will be worthwhile to committing to advancing women in cybersecurity. For more information, see the actual report, which is hyperlinked on the previous slide.
Around the world, cybersecurity continues to be a pressing issue. Each year, the number of data breaches rises. The first half of 2017 saw a 164% increase in the number of compromised data records compared to the same time period in 2016. This was according to a report published by Gemalto last year. 2017 saw some new and devastating attacks, like WannaCry and later Petya. As we enter 2018, cyber attacks have already begun to make headlines. One instance regards Android malware that targets over 200 banking apps and attempts to steal personal data from users. When cyber attacks make the news, they often concern a compromised market giant. It's easy to forget that smaller organizations are also under attack and frequently fall victim to data breaches. These smaller organizations often have a tough time getting the funding that they need to implement a security program appropriate for their organization. Unfortunately, organizations that do not implement an adequate cybersecurity program in an effort to save money may end up paying a dozen times more than the cost of an adequate program if they fall victim to an attack. According to a study by Honeywell, the industrial sector specifically is falling behind with the adoption of protective cybersecurity measures. The report revealed that 45% of responding companies do not have a dedicated employee for cybersecurity. Often this job is instead overseen by other IT leaders, such as the CIO, the CEO, the CFO, or other leadership roles within the company. While having these dedicated cybersecurity professionals to oversee the organization's cybersecurity is ideal, the current massive shortage in cybersecurity professionals is making it hard for organizations, even those with the budget to afford one, to find an expert in cybersecurity for hire. The report also revealed that more than 50% of responders stated that they work for an industrial company that has already had a security breach. This statistic has a large asterisk beside it, however. Companies do not always reveal when they have been breached. The statistics outlining the number of organizations, regardless of the sector, that have been attacked is based only on those that have been reported. Many agree that these numbers are just the tip of the iceberg, and that far more organizations have been hit, but refuse to admit it. A choice they make in order to avoid public humiliation, to avoid alerting other hackers to their own weaknesses, or some other unknown reason. To further support this point, the Honeywell report also revealed that only 37% of the responding industrial companies monitor for suspicious behavior, meaning that a lot of suspicious behavior is likely going undetected in industrial companies that are not monitoring for it. A popular saying in cybersecurity is that there are two types of companies, those that have been hacked and know it, and those that have been hacked but do not know it. Regardless, laws and regulations continue to be put in place to hold organizations accountable for reporting breaches when they happen, so that accurate information can be collected regarding the current cybersecurity landscape. The Honeywell report recommends that industrial companies alter their digital transformation strategies to include cybersecurity and alter their organizational structure so that it further breaks down the IT and OT silos. Taking advantage of new technologies like IIoT and transforming the industrial sector to become more digital both have their advantages, but these advantages must be acquired knowing the risks that come along with them.
While hospitals managed to get out of the WannaCry incident relatively unscathed, critical devices were still affected. The American Hospital Association is first pointing their finger at the medical device manufacturers for their tardiness in providing information regarding methods of response to WannaCry, whether it was software updates, patches, etc. However, even after solutions were offered, the manufacturers' reactions were sometimes extreme and unnecessary, for example, taking devices completely offline. And this has caused costly disruptions to hospitals. The FDA overall has been criticized as only offering a mere tap-on-the-shoulder reminder when it comes to security and medical device manufacturers, says James Scott, senior fellow at the Nonpartisan Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology. The American Hospital Association is asking that the FDA set clear, measurable expectations on response procedures with manufacturers before incidents happen and improve assistance to members post-incident. The AHA is also requesting that manufacturers demonstrate due diligence and patch and secure their devices as updates are available. Medical device security has not been a priority, and it took WannaCry as a real wake-up call despite security researchers insisting that there were very real flaws with devices a while ago. For example, in 2011, hacker Barnaby Jack demonstrated that it was possible to hack his own insulin pump to potentially give himself a lethal dose. It's simply not been part of product development, something industry experts are calling for immediately post WannaCry to prevent these issues when another attack might occur. Time will tell how regulations and standards are further implemented in this space as it becomes a more urgent priority. The Financial Times, earlier in 2017, reported that as many as 2 in 5 device makers surveyed had not even taken steps to prevent attacks in their devices. And various flaws in medical devices in 2017. There was infusion pumps experiencing a vulnerability that allowed hackers to change a dose. Johnson & Johnson had to give over 100,000 diabetes patients notification that their insulin pump had a flaw. MedSec, a cybersecurity company, allegedly found a flaw in pacemakers, publicized vulnerability while teaming up with a hedge fund to bet against the company that made the devices, St. Jude's Medical, and a 2017 report by Trend Micro found that over 36,000 medical devices were easily found on Shodan, a search engine of connected devices. And while that doesn't mean that those devices are necessarily a target, it does make them publicly available to potentially become a target. So really, this is a space to watch, and hopefully we don't experience anything as widespread as WannaCry in 2018, but one can't be sure.
3 U.S. senators have reintroduced a bill called the Data Security and Breach Notification Act that, if passed, will require jail time for corporate executives who cover up data breaches. It goes without saying that 2017 was the year of the data breach, everything from Uber to Equifax. Ultimately, it was really the year of the cover-up, when we saw that Uber actually had the data breach in 2014, but we weren't notified about it until 2017. State Senator Tammy Baldwin has reintroduced this bill, the Data Security and Breach Notification Act, and states, "The recent data breaches from Uber to Equifax will have a profound and long-lasting impact on the integrity of many Americans' identities and finances, and it is simply unacceptable that millions of them still may not know that they are at risk, nor understand what they can do or should do to help limit the potential damage. The lax approach to user notification has spurred the reintroduction of this bill, which was originally introduced in 2015. If passed, the bill will replace the 48 existing state-specific breach reporting requirements, which vary by state and which none of them have actual jail time as a requirement. The Breach Notification Act applies to all organizations that collect, maintain, or use consumers' personal information. Notably, in this new act, personal information as a definition is broader than any of the state-specific laws. In addition to this broader definition, the bill requires that companies notify the FTC within 30 days of discovering a breach that involves consumer personal information. This 30-day requirement is much shorter than the HIPAA requirement and in any of the state individual requirements. However, 30 days is actually much longer than the EU General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, which requires organizations to notify their authorities within 72 hours of a breach. I'd like to use this as an opportunity to remind everybody that GDPR doesn't just apply to EU organizations, but it applies to any organization globally, including the United States, who collects EU data subjects' personal information. If an organization can prove that they are at no risk of identity theft or fraud, then they can be exempt from the notification requirements under the proposed U.S. Data Security Breach Notification Act. Notably, this may stop over-notification to consumers and is a business-friendly addition to the federal bill. Under the bill, the FTC would be required to set a new standard for security requirements in order to allow organizations to develop procedures that allow them to have access to understanding how foreseeably system vulnerabilities may exist. Essentially, the FTC has to set out some guidelines so organizations understand what they have to do. But if we look at what organizations can do now in preparation for this potential act, immediate improvements and refinements of existing vulnerability management systems and threat detection processes are required. The bill will make it crucial that organizations have an understanding of when a breach has occurred and the level of severity. Proper escalation processes must exist to ensure that executives are informed of major breaches of personal information. However, they are not over-informed when common anomalies or non-personal data breaches occur. Overall, given the current climate, it's unclear as to how easily this bill will be passed. However, it's crucial that something must change so that end users have an understanding of where their data lives and if a breach has occurred and whether or not it's been compromised.
Bitcoin is considered the world's most secure currency. However, there have been a number of breaches that have led to the theft of more than $17 billion worth of Bitcoin today. Before diving into the latest Bitcoin breach and what it teaches us about the security of Bitcoin, let's first define what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin, founded in 2009, is the world's first decentralized digital payment system that uses cryptography to secure its network. Therefore, it is classified as a cryptocurrency as it uses 256-bit encryption to secure the payment system. Bitcoin is based on the blockchain technology that allows decentralized computers to talk to each other and keep a payment ledger, which is the essence of Bitcoin. Over the past year, Bitcoin has gone from a value of $1,000 per Bitcoin to $15,000. This gain of 1,400% is astonishing and has drawn a lot of attention. The investment platforms, mining operations, and storage organizations, or wallets for Bitcoin, have been growing very quickly as everyone is looking to gain a piece of the pie. The hype and rise of Bitcoin can be attributed back to its three main benefits. Number one, Bitcoin works on a decentralized network with miners continuously updating the ledger and keeping track of ownership. This means that no single entity can directly influence the currency's supply, transfer, and store of value. Bitcoin allows for greater anonymity by using account numbers instead of user IDs. However, another cryptocurrency called Monero provides greater privacy and ensures the anonymity of payment transfers. Finally, Bitcoin uses 256-bit encryption and a multiple validation approach to increase the security of its platform and ensure no single user can alter the payment ledger and steal Bitcoin from another user. However, the recent Bitcoin breaches have exposed a number of vulnerabilities, and Bitcoin may not be as secure as we think. The core of Bitcoin security is its 256-bit encryption. As of now, 256-bit encryption is said to be impossible to hack, making it impossible for a hacker to breach the core integrity of Bitcoin. While this has held true so far, the continuous increase in computing power and the development of AI may lead to a way to break the 256-bit encryption in the future. However, for now, most hackers target organizations that mine or store Bitcoin in order to steal them. The table displays some of the most prominent Bitcoin breaches dating back to June 2011. The biggest Bitcoin breach was in February 2014 with Mt. Gox. During this breach, 850,000 Bitcoin were stolen, which was worth $450 million then. Given the significant rise in Bitcoin, the breached Bitcoin are now worth a whopping $12.7 billion. The second largest breach was in August 2016, where 120,000 Bitcoin were stolen, worth $1.8 billion today. Finally, we have the latest Bitcoin breach in December 2017, where 4,700 Bitcoin were stolen. While the NiceHash hack was small compared to some of the other historical Bitcoin breaches, it does expose a critical flaw in Bitcoin. NiceHash is a computer power provider to help other individuals and organizations mine Bitcoin and therefore have a significant amount of Bitcoin passing through their systems. Hackers used a highly sophisticated social engineering campaign to infiltrate NiceHash, which further exposed humans as a critical vulnerability. This breach helps illustrate the need to invest resources to train your users and create awareness to reduce the threat of human-centric hacks. This is not only true for the cryptocurrency industry, but also other industries around the world, as humans prove to be a valuable target to hackers. Overall, Bitcoin is a secure, encrypted currency, but the process of storing and mining Bitcoin creates vulnerabilities. Given that each Bitcoin has an associated ID, it is highly probable that the hackers will not be able to use the stolen Bitcoin, as the IDs can be flagged. While this might be a silver lining, NiceHash users still lost about $71 million, and therefore, mining and storage organizations still need to ensure that their systems and users are secure. Finally, if you want to work with a cryptocurrency storage organization, ensure you do your due diligence into their security, as your money is only as safe as the organization that stores it.
This concludes our monthly threat briefing. Included in today's presentation were several hyperlinks to our research blueprints that you can use to address some of the threats presented during the briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call. Thank you.